If you've got your Bibles this morning, I'm going to be in Psalm 118, verse 22. You can turn there if you would like. You can also turn to Matthew chapter 21 and verse 42. Or you can turn to Mark chapter 12 and verse 10. Or Luke chapter 20 and verse 17. What I'm reading this morning is recorded in all three of the Gospels, three of the four Gospels. And there's only one word really difference in the scripture and the meaning of these scriptures. But I'm looking at the book of Psalms, chapter 118 and verse 22, and this is a psalm that a lot of the scriptures you may not know where they come from, but this is a psalm that a lot of scriptures is quoted from that we use. Verse 24 is this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the psalm that comes out of. And this psalm I'm looking at, this passage I'm looking at this morning, it said the stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. The New Testament writers use the word, the stone that the builders rejected. The psalmist said that this is a stone that they refused. Let's get this right. This is, history is his book. This is his church. This is his story. It's all about him. And he beheld them and said, what is this then that is written? The stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner. They knew exactly what he was talking about. This is something that he said that highly upset the Pharisees and the Sadducees of that day, because they understood what the psalmist was writing. He was referring back to something in the New Testament, to something that was in the Old Testament, of the building of the temple. He said, this is the stone that the builders rejected. But now, wait a minute, we already have the temple. We have the cornerstone. But what he was saying is, I am the cornerstone of the church. Now, let's get this right. This is not my church. This is not your church. This is his church. The church will go on. When I'm dead and gone, this church will keep on going if the Lord tarries. The church is his. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. They have tried to destroy it. They tried to run it down. But the church will go on. I've got one chapter in the old, one verse in the Old Testament I want you to turn to. You'll find it in 1 Kings chapter number 6 and verse 7. 1 Kings chapter 6 and verse 7. He said, and the house, we're talking about the temple, when it was in building, That just simply means that they was in the process of construction when they was building the temple. It was built of stone made ready before it was brought thither, so that there was neither hammer nor axe nor any tool of iron heard in the house while it was in building. Brother David, they took every stone that was used in the construction of building the temple, and they built it piece by piece in the quarry, transported it to the Temple Mount, and assembled it. some of y'all know this, and some of you may not know this. Chelsea has some old historical homes. They got several of them that was mail ordered. Come from Sears and Roebuck. Did you know Sears and Roebuck used to sell houses? You bought a house, they bring it in on rail car. They offloaded it, and every board was pre-cut and had a number. Every board went together and had a place. That's the way they done the temple. Every stone was numbered. Every block had its place. I could stop right there and preach. But something caught my attention. He said, I don't want any iron tools to be used in the construction of the temple. Could you imagine this church house being built with no iron tools, no hammers, no nails, no mortar, no saws? But you know what he's saying? He said, those are all instruments of force. They put things in place by force. I want a church to come together and to worship me, not being forced. I'm here because I love the Lord this morning. I'm here because I want to come to worship Him. I'm here because nobody has to tell me to praise Him. Nobody has to tell me to lift up my hands and give Him thanks. Nobody has to tell me that I need to read my Bible and I need to study, that I need to pray. I do it because I love Him. Our worship should be pure and holy, not forced upon us. If you're doing it because somebody said you have to, because somebody said that this is what you need to be doing, you're doing it for the wrong reason. It should never be forced in the house of God. Oh, I'll try to encourage you to everything that is within me to read and study your word, to pray. I'll try to encourage you to live a better life. But it's got to come from in here. You know, the old saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. I'll try to tell you the right way to do it. But at the end of the day, it's going to be up to you. But God had given David a plan. But David had blood on his hands. You know, you can read back all the way back to the walls of Jericho. When the walls come tumbling down, God started saving stuff aside for the temple. The spoils of war. The spoils of battle. David began to collect things in his dynasty, in his reign. But David had blood on his hands. And Brother Virgil, he wasn't allowed to build the temple. But the lot fell to Solomon. I'm glad that God doesn't just give everything to one generation. But He has something for this generation. There are people that will say that the Christian movement is over and done with, but I'm glad to tell you, I stand here to tell you today that it is not. God is still in the house and God is still moving. But as Solomon and they begin to gather the rocks out of the quarry, every rock was formed and every rock was shaped. Every rock had a number on it. And they begin to bring the rocks up out of the quarry, and they believe it was Solomon's quarry that these limestone rocks come out of. Every one of them hewn and fastened and positioned. It had a perfect place to put in it. They begin to lay all the rocks out, numbered, getting ready for the assembly. And there was one rock. One stone that they kept tripping over. It didn't have a number on it. They thought, this one got sent up here by accident. This was misplaced. What are we going to do with this thing? They kept tripping over it. They get to Moses, and it was in the way. Finally, they pushed it over to the edge and pushed it off down off of the Temple Mount and rolled down in the Kidron Valley in some brush. That's where this Psalm 118 come from. You'll read from Jewish history that they sent word back to the quarry. Said, we're ready to start construction, but we've got a cornerstone that's missing. They sent word back from the rock quarry and said, you need to check, you've got it. They sent word back again and said, we don't have this stone. You've messed something up. We're missing this stone. We can't start construction. Finally, the third time, the rock quarry sent word back from the head quarry, the foreman over the head quarry, and he said, you've got it. You need to look. They thought, could it be the stone we kept tripping over? The stone we kept stumbling over? The one that had no mark on it? Could that be it? They finally went down off of under the Kidron Valley and found it in the brush. And there it was. Unmarked. Unmarred. The perfect Lamb of God. They had to take that stone and get it back up on the Temple Mount where it belonged. That stone, the stone that was rejected. I'm going to tell you something this morning. If we don't get back in America's churches, back to the stone, back to the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, back to the gospel, back to the book, we're going to lose it, church. The church was built on the stone, was built upon the rock. We want to preach out of every book out there. We want to preach off of movies, and we want to we got to get back to the Word of God. Alexandria Duff, one of the great missionaries of times gone by, he had selected 800 books he was going to take up on his missionary journey. Hand-selected the books. Great philosophers. Historians that had wrote these books, and he was going to use them in his missionary journeys. Out to sea, the storm come up and the ship went down. Not too far off of the coast, they made it back to shore. And standing there waiting, hoping that something would maybe drift in from the storm. Hours went by, and finally someone seen one of the books floating. They waded out in the ocean to get it. And it was Alexandria Duff's Bible. All of the other books may sink, but I'll tell you what, this book will float. This is a book that what are they saying, the song, the old gospel ship? Other ships have went down, but this one here will stay afloat. It'll stand the test of time. I thought about Voltaire's. A lot of you probably know him or read of him or know who I'm talking about. Voltaire was a deist. Some say he was an agnostic or an atheist, but he wasn't. He was a deist. But in today's society, agnostic and atheism is on the rise, and people believe that the Big Bang Theory, and they believe that there's no God. I'll tell you what, you cannot take nothing and make something out of it. There had to be something there for creation to be created. And it was God. Voltaire, he was a great scholar. And he said this. He said, within 100 years, the Bible will be obsolete. 58 years after Voltaire's passing, the Bible Society bought his house and used it as a warehouse to store Bibles. This cornerstone will stand. Dilation was probably in all of my studies and all of my readings, Dilation was probably one of the worst of all the emperors and leaders that ever lived. If you get to reading his account, Rome will tell you he was the greatest emperor, but I disagree with that. He persecuted more Christians, tortured them, destroyed them, called for all the Bibles to be brought in, and he would burn them. He said this, he said, if I can destroy the Word, I can destroy Christianity. He built a monument on what he thought was the last Bible that he had burned upon the ashes. The monument had an inscription upon it that said, the name of Christian is now out of existence. That was in 303 AD. Some 20 years later, Constantine became the emperor. And he did the exact opposite. He realized there was a crisis in the country. And they needed churches. He sent out a decree and he said, if anyone has a copy of the Bible, we're talking about handwritten copies. If anyone has a copy of the Bible, I will give them a handsome reward. Within 24 hours, he had over 50 copies sitting in front of him. You cannot burn it. You cannot sink it. The Word of God will stand the test of time. If you bury it, it'll come back to life 3 days later. I remember some time back I was working with down in Texas with doing honeybees, working down there, and I had to come back. I had a funeral to do. And I like my bees, but I'll tell you what, church is the most important thing to me. God is the most important thing. And Ben Schaefer, he, good friend of mine, he said, well, I'll tell you what, he said, you get ready. He said, and I'll be down at the airport to pick you up. He's going to fly me back. I'd worked all day. And some of you know honeybees. Rick's worked honeybees. He's helped. But I had been working, doing splits. I'd been splitting all day. We started at daylight. I'd started splitting. And split all day long. That evening, about dark, we started doing set downs. You have to set bees down at night because if you don't, you'll lose all the field bees. And I started about dark doing set downs. I think we had about 400 colonies to set down that night. And that's several trips. I can haul 128 colonies on my flatbed. That's a load pulling a forklift. So take them out, put them out in the fields, go get another load, four trips back and forth. So I rolled back in early that next morning, got back in, and I think I got about 30 minutes of sleep, got up, met Ben at the airport, got on the airplane, and it was, we had bad weather. Weather was bad. And you couldn't, I don't know if you've ever flown when you can't see, but it was fog, rain, we just had a mixture of everything. And we started climbing. And if some of y'all know Ben Schaefer, I had reason to be nervous. And, especially when he works on his own stuff. So we get to flying, and I think he could tell I'm a little bit nervous. And I begin to close my eyes, and can't see anything anyway. And a little bit, I said, "Ben, are we still climbing?" He said, "What's it feel like?" I said, "It feels like we're climbing." And he said, "No, we're turning hard right or hard left. I don't remember which one it was. We was banking." And I said, "How do you know?" He said, "Well, look at the instruments." And you know I got something out of that. There's times that I've been through life whenever it feels like the account, my bank account's low. It may feel like that I'm going through a trial or going through a sickness or going through a turmoil. But I tell you, look at the instrument. David said, "I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread." There's healing in the wings. He's a friend that'll never leave you, that'll stick as closer than a brother. If we go off of our feelings, we may feel like we're sinking. We may feel like we're going down. But what does the book say? You know one thing that I've noticed? The pilots that have fatal accidents are the ones that do not trust the instrumentation. Let that sink in just for a minute. What are you saying, Pre? I'm saying I can trust the book. I can trust his word. I can trust what he's telling me. The Bible tells me, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not works, lest any man should boast." You know, the devil will tell you you're never good enough. But I have to go back. What does the book say? Robert Dick Wilson. He was a scholar. Taught at Princeton University. And by the way, most of our Bible colleges was founded upon, our college was founded upon Bible principles. He was a Hebrew scholar. That's what he studied. That's what he taught. He could speak and read 45 different languages. Very educated, very smart man. And he was teaching a class, teaching on the authority of the Word of God. They said he came into class that day, and it was different than any other day that he'd ever taught. I'm talking about an educated man that could speak multiple languages. But he came in that day, and the students said that he came in, he had a different look, different demeanor about him. And he said that there are many mysteries and many things about the Bible that I do not understand. He said, "I've studied it. I've read it all of my life. I've made it my goal to know all I can know." And they said that he took his glasses off and tears began to stream down his eyes. And he said, "This I know, Jesus loves me so, for the Bible tells me. In the fellowship of His sufferings, I've always found that an answer when I was in need. When I've been down, when I've been out, and if you love Jesus, you have to love His Word. I'm going to tell you this, and I'm going to leave you with this morning. There was a young man that was in church, and he'd come to an old wise pastor. And he asked him, he said, he made an appointment and come in to talk to him. And he said, I just don't feel like I'm where I need to be in my relationship with Christ. He said, I feel distant. I feel like my prayers are not getting answered. I just don't feel like I'm going anywhere in my Christian walk. The wise old preacher just sat behind his desk and pulled out an index card and began to write. Never said a word. Let the young man talk, and the young man just kept going on about the things that he had done and, you know, his life story, and just, you know, he felt like that he had just gotten cold, more distant. Finally, he asked the old pastor, he said, have you got any words of wisdom for me? He said, well, I'm going to give you some advice under one condition. He said, you do what I ask you to do. The young man said, well, sure, within reason, I'll do it. He pushed the little index card over to him, and he was thinking it probably had some divine scripture, divine word, or some thought that words of advice maybe the old pastor had wrote down. But he looked at it, and it was an address. And he said, what's this? He said, it's an address. I want you to go there. He said, I'm going to call ahead, and the keeper of the house, he said, I'm going to talk to him and tell him you're coming. And he said, by chance, if I can't get a hold of him, knock on the door. He'll come to the door, and I want you to tell him that you're there to see the painting. He said, I thought to myself, he said, painting, I don't know anything about art. I don't even like art. So, being true to his word, he got in his car and drove down the road, typed in the address, pulled up to the house there where the address was, knocked on the door. The keeper of the house opened the door and said, you're here to see the painting. He said, yes. He said, the pastor called me and told me you was coming. He said, I walked through the house, and there was room after room, dark room, and he said it was like a maze going through there. He said, we finally end up in a big room. And he said, there is a painting, a large painting, takes up the whole wall, the back room of this house. And he said, I stand there and I look at it. And he said, I immediately realized that it was a picture of the crucifixion of Christ. But he said, it was the awfulest, horriblest picture I'd ever seen. The head was so big and everything was distorted. He said, it looked like maybe a child had drawn it. He said, I'm not an artist. He thought to himself, I really don't, this don't make sense to me. I mean, why this painting? Why did he want me to come here and look at this? He told the keeper of the house, he said, this doesn't look right. He said he wanted me to see this. The keeper of the house said, what do you see? He said, I see the crucifixion. He said, I can tell what it is, but it's not right. He said, now I want you to do something. He said, I want you to get a little bit lower and a little bit closer. He says, I began to get a little bit lower and a little bit closer. He said, everything began to come into view. You see, the artist had painted it on his knees. When we get down to the place that we need to be and we get ourselves humbled before God and we begin to look up to the world, this is just a book. But to the Christian, this is our roadmap. This is our way to heaven. This is everything to us. When things are not in the proper perspective, we need to get down a little bit lower. A little bit lower. Are you understanding me? And look up. And when we can look up and see Him for who He is and see us as who we are, I know I ain't always been what I should have been, but thank God I ain't what I was. I have learned to get down and to look up and see the Lord high and lifted up. Isaiah said that His train filled the temple. You may look at this as just another book, but the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. It's our instruction. It's our hope. It's the cornerstone of everything we believe in. In church, we got to get back to it. Back to the Word. Stand with me, if you will. I preached long enough this morning. Maybe someone has a need. We can try to build our lives without the cornerstone. But that stone was special. It was the load-bearing stone. It was a stone that carried all the weight. It was a stone that held everything together. You wonder why the world's having marital problems like they're having. They've taken the stone out. You wonder why we're in the mess that we're in. They've taken the stone out. You wonder why churches, for the most part, have become a theatrical performance. They've got to have something to draw the crowds in, the community in, because the stone is no longer there. I felt that. Listen to me, there's nothing that will take the place of the Spirit of God. If you don't have the stone in your life, you're building upon the sand. Maybe there'd be one this morning that would say, yes, I need to get back to the basics. I need to get back to putting the cornerstone back in the house where it belongs. The altar's open. Maybe someone feels the need to pray. Let's all find us a place. Let's seek the Lord a while this morning. I've done my best.